Pittsburgh.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President-elect Trump making more cabinet choices. ABC's Mary Bruce with Warren's choice to head up the Department of Health and Human Services.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has endorsed a host of debunked conspiracy theories, including falsely claiming that childhood vaccines cause autism, although the fraudulent study that introduced the concept was retracted long ago. And numerous high-quality studies have since shown that is not true. There is no link between vaccines and autism. Most of the vaccines used today have been used safely for decades, though Kennedy claims otherwise.
Senators of both parties are calling on the House Ethics Committee to release its findings from a months-long sexual misconduct and illicit drug use investigation into Attorney General nominee Matt Gaetz. That investigation was dropped when Gaetz resigned his House seat. Man from Houston, Anas Saeed, under arrest, plotting terror attacks on U.S. soil, faces up to 20 years in prison. This is ABC News.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin's court system faces a case backlog and attorney shortage. State Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler raised both issues during her State of the Judiciary address this week. Ziegler said a shortage of attorneys contributes to the backlog, particularly in rural counties. The Wisconsin Department of Justice's annual crime report shows a total of 765 fentanyl-related cases in 2023. That's up 84 from 2022. Attorney General Josh Call is asking the state legislature to invest in crime labs to improve staffing for these cases. Call says the state crime labs are essential for public safety and ensuring justice. And a group of Native American burial grounds were found in Milwaukee's Forest Home Cemetery. Those mounds, mapped in the 1800s, were intended to be protected in the cemetery's design, but were later sold as plots by the owners of the cemetery. Plans to preserve the mounds are now pending.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Some clouds, maybe even a little fog this morning, then becoming partly cloudy today. Our high 53 this afternoon. Tonight, 37. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 55. On Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy, 55. But it does get colder with rain next week. If you're looking for an amazing fall or winter getaway or maybe some holiday fun, check out Alexandria, Minnesota at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
99.7.
Maximum Hits 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:02 on Friday morning. As I look outside the studio here this morning, yes, it is cloudy out there, but it is going to warm up. You know, great time to be out and about. It is middle of November after all, so get out and enjoy the weather while you still can. Lots of things going on in the area as well. Don't forget the Baraboo Theater Go presents Something Rotten tonight, 7:30 p.m. at Ringling Theater, as well as Saturday night and then Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Tickets at alringling.org. Coming up at 8:10, Emily and I are going to talk about one of the most unique insurance scams that I have ever seen. Very interesting what people will do. Here is After the Fire on Max FM.
It's not that I don't care, so, 'cause I hear it all the time, but they never let you know on the TV and the radio. She was young, her heart was pure, but every night is bright she got. She said sugar sweet, she got me rapping to the beat, then I knew that she was hot. She was singing, don't turn around, uh-oh. The commissar's in town, uh-oh. You design, you know why, the more you live, the faster you will die. Alex Clark, head commissar. Enough to know what she really meant. And I got to thinking while she was talking that her nose had told the story of those special places that she goes. I mean, she rides with the others in the subway singing,
don't turn around,
uh-oh.
The commissar's in town,
uh-oh. And if he talks to you and you don't know why, you say your life is gonna make you die. Alles klar, Herr Kommissar.
Cha, 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 cha.
the whole cool gang and all. They're rapping here, they're rapping there, but she's climbing up the wall. It's a clear case, said Commissar, cause all the children know. They were sliding down into the valley, they're all slipping on the same snow. Here the children
don't turn around. Uh-oh.
Max FM.
Time with you. Tell me all that you
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:10 a.m. on Friday morning. That was the All-American Rejects, Dirty Little Secret. We're going to talk about somebody's dirty little secret in just a second, Emily. We want to remind everyone that at 9:15 a.m. this morning, we're going to have an interview with Tom Clark, the drummer from Mannheim Steamroller. If everything works according to plan... I'm excited. Can you not tell that at all, Emily?
It's so awesome. And it's so awesome the way you were able to turn this around as of like yesterday evening. Like all of a sudden it was like a glint of hope in your eye. And now it's like an interview. Like, I mean, you did it. So that's super awesome. I want to do like an actual drum roll, but I don't really have the equipment here. So
yeah.
Drum roll for Dave. Super Dave going to interview with the drummer for Mannheim Steamroller, who you know is coming to Crystal Grand a week from today.
Actually, tonight.
Oh, it's tonight. Oh, my gosh. I'm a week behind.
Yeah.
Last week, we kept talking about a week from today. I am so sorry. It's tonight. Duh. Yep. No wonder the interview is right now.
Yeah,
I am
no,
so sorry.
So they're there tonight because we have the next week. We have the light parade already. So, yeah,
that's
things
right.
are moving
yeah.
along quickly.
I'm literally a week behind as of right now, but I'm caught up. Okay, back to reality. Back to the future. I'm in.
And she's in. All right. And so speaking of in, we are in for Max FM holiday cards. We're going to be sending those out in December. You're going to see pictures of yours truly, Dave and Emily, on the front of those Christmas cards. You need to text us Christmas card to 608-355-9970 with your name and address or use a free Civic Media app. We'll send those out in December. It's going to be a lot of fun, Emily. We're looking forward to it.
It's gonna show how much fun we do have and like just kind of the zany antics that are David Emily in the morning. So yeah, it's fun. We'd love to be able to send our holiday cheer your way. So please text us in address with your name and just write on there Christmas card or I'd love a Christmas card or hey David, how about that Christmas card? You know, any little message, we'll understand what you're trying to do.
Exactly. So make sure you text us. We have a limited amount of those Christmas cards to go out and, you know, talking about crazy and zany, how high do you have to be to hatch a scheme like this? Four people in Los Angeles are facing insurance fraud charges after claiming a bear got into their 2010 Rolls Royce and destroyed it. We're guessing that they got the idea from YouTube. There are tons of videos of them getting into the cars on YouTube, right, Emily?
There is, right? So, I mean, bears can be... As people know, bears as an animal are like, they're not afraid of people at all. And they will go into any vehicle, tent, building and get food. That's what they're after. And they are not scared of us, nor are they scared of like the scent of human, which a lot of wild animals are. They'll kind of keep their distance. Bears are not that way. So because there's all these YouTube videos of actual bears getting into cars in LA, right? I mean, and I'm not going to call names, but in the article, it does have, you know, some names that they're calling on these particular guys. But anyways, they claimed that a bear got into their car in January during a trip to Lake Arrowhead, which is, for those of us that don't live in California, about 75 miles east of LA. So there's some wild country out there, and they had security footage to back it up. But that footage is what did them in. Even though it's from a distance, you can tell it's obviously somebody in a bear costume. So I watched this video and it is redonkulous. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, first of all, the footage is just not good footage. So they did that on purpose to make it seem like, oh, I can't really tell what's going on. Oh, maybe it is really a bear. Like, it's clearly not. I mean, the bears are pretty active with, I mean, they're able to use their paws and their front arms. Like, they're very dexterous, right, with them. But I think at one point the quote-unquote bear like puts its paws on the wheel like at 10
it
and
does.
2 like they're about to drive away. Like, the bear is not gonna do that. So anyways, what else does this article talk about? I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's hard for me to even get through because I was like, oh my god, people out there.
So officials launched an investigation and they called it Operation Bear Claw. They looped in a biologist at the California Department of Wildlife who watched the video and told them it was clearly a human in a bear suit. The scratch marks in the car also looked weird and too evenly spaced. It turns out they used metal claws meant for shredding meat. Officials found the bear suit and the claws in one of the suspects' homes. And Emily, you know, I just can't believe they even thought that would work. This picture is priceless of the bear suit. And the
check
meat
this out.
Club.
I'm sure you can find it online. And as Google dumb it. As this plan was, it turned out they'd actually pulled it off twice before with two other cars. Both were Mercedes. So, I mean, apparently the fraudulent claims netted them over 140 grand. Like, this is insane. And these dudes are 39, 32, and 26. So the 26-year-old will give you, like, the teensiest pass because you're only 26. The other two, like, come on. Do some adulting. This is ridiculous. There's other ways to make money. Just ridiculous.
Obviously, they must have had money because we're talking Mercedes, you know, to both
yeah,
of them.
Royce. Yeah.
And now they're facing charges for conspiracy, insurance fraud. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Things that are a bad idea is this. And if you go Google it, you'll find the video. I was watching it last night. I'm still laughing about it, Emily. It's absolutely insanity.
Yeah, I'm just going to segue this real quick just because I can. You can dress up in a bear suit and do something that's not an insurance scam. And just to give you a teensy tease for next week's light parade, there may be someone walking around in a bear suit. So keep your eyes open for a bear that's like yellow in color, probably will be waving, possibly have some candy, walking around the parade. That dude is not going to be trying to scam you. That dude is there just to entertain in the parade. So anyways, tease over. Don't try to scam the insurance companies. They'll get you every time. I mean, really. And these guys are facing conspiracy, too. This is not just insurance fraud. That's like a fine. This is
it's
different.
Huge. Yeah, federal it's offense. Huge, yeah. Don't do it. You're going to get yourselves into trouble. Emily, what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. We will be back in a few minutes. We're going to talk about the calendar days.
Sounds like a plan.
And so we're looking forward to that. So we'll be back with calendar days. And after that, we'll have Hang with Havel and Maddie Jones on Max FM.
If you're getting mighty hungry, well, the best in the country is Pizza Ranch.
It's the season of giving, and Pizza Ranch in Baraboo is helping you spread the cheer. For every $50 gift card you buy, you'll receive a $10 bounce back card for yourself. Plus, you can help a family in need with a pizza pack donation. Pizza Ranch is where your gift keeps on giving to you and to others. So stop by Pizza Ranch in Baraboo and give the gift of pizza this season. Treat yourself, treat others, and make someone's holiday a little brighter.
With a look at some of the upcoming area events, here's your Max FM community calendar. It's time once again for the Boy Scout Troop 247th Annual Camping for Cans Box Camp. That's going to be happening on Saturday, November 9th. The troop will spend 24 hours camping in cardboard boxes in front of Viking Village Foods in Reedsburg. They'll be collecting non-perishable food items, and Viking Village will be matching each item that they receive. And then all the items will be donated to the Reedsburg Food Pantry. This community service project not only assists with the food pantry shelves before the holidays, but it also brings awareness to homelessness in our area. Please support the amazing effort. For more details, you can check out their Facebook page. Again, this will take place on Saturday for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. and going till Sunday morning at 9 as well. It's also time for the Portage High School Holiday Bazaar with music, crafts, and raffle prizes. All proceeds will support the Portage High School special education programs. This will also be on Saturday, November 9th from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Indulge in a festive wonderland of creativity and cheer. There'll be a delightful array of handcrafted treasures from local artisans and vendors, each offering unique gifts and holiday decorations to make your season merry and bright. Again, this will start at 9 a.m., runs until 2 p.m. It'll be at the Portage High School Gymnasium. And once again, the Reedsburg VFW Post 1619 will be hosting their monthly breakfast buffet. It's open to the public every second Sunday of the month with made-to-order omelets, scrambled eggs, breakfast sausages, hash browns, and so much more. $10 per person. Each person under 10 will get in for $1 for each year of age. This again is every second Sunday from 8 a.m. until noon at Thurber Greenwood VFW Hall in Reedsburg. Check out their Facebook page for all the details.
When you're looking for a bank, you want one that understands your needs and is committed to your community. That's why so many people choose Baraboo State Bank. They offer a wide range of banking products and services, including personal checking and savings accounts, business banking, loans, and more. But what really sets them apart is their commitment to customer service. They go above and beyond to make sure you're happy by offering convenient online and mobile banking. Visit their website at baraboobank.com. Baraboo State Bank, banking better together since 1857. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is your chance to support women and female-owned businesses during the first Wisconsin Women's Wellness Expo. Experience this unique event from 9 to 5 at the Ho-Chunk Convention Center in Baraboo on November 23rd. Admission is just $30, which includes speakers and interactive workshops designed to help you learn yoga, hormone health, herbalism, dealing with menopause, and more. Find your tickets at www.embracingfeminine.com/expo and be one of the first to attend the Wisconsin Women's Wellness Expo. Today's Max FM Big Deal of the Day. Discounted admission to the Wisconsin Women's Wellness Expo happening on Saturday, November 23rd from 9 to 5 at the Ho-Chunk Casino Convention Center. Listen to various speakers on nutrition or herbalism. Enjoy workshops involving sound healing and yoga. Connect with wellness vendors and sign up for raffle prizes. Go to MaxFMBigDeals.com and purchase a $30 admission certificate for just $15. Today only at Max FM Big Deals.
Max FM.
Hold on, little girl. Show me what he's done to you. Stand up, little girl. A broken heart can't be that bad. When it's through, it's through. Fate would twist of both of you. So come on, baby, come on over. Let me be the one to show you.
I'm the one who wants to be with you. Deep inside, I hope.
Time for once. Wake up, who cares about little boys that talk too much? I've seen it all go down. The game of love was all ran down. So come on, baby, come on over. Let me be the one to hold.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Emily, it is time for calendar days.
It is. Dave, check it out. Oh, that didn't work. Sorry about that. I was trying to do something fun, and it didn't work. Anyways, it's time for calendar days. We're going to keep having fun with things like that, but that one didn't work. So the thing, what I was trying to do was the tie-in because... today is National Drummer Day. You're interviewing a drummer. I know. So I had a really cool sound effect for a drum roll, but just as everything else happens on your phone, it doesn't quite work out the timing because they stick in a silly ad. So too bad for us. We'll give that another try some other time. But yeah, today is National Drummer Day. Boom. Got it. Okay. And I love this. It says drummers are so coordinated. They can do something different with each limb, which I really appreciate. My brother-in-law is a drummer. He was in the Blue Meanies for a million years. So I don't know if anyone's heard of that cool band. But anyways, that was a punk rock band. And being a drummer for a punk rock band is pretty serious coordination. The dude like drummed so fast. It was amazing to watch. So I got to sometimes go to their shows, their reunion shows, and be backstage and kind of see some of the set. So that was, I think drummers are the coolest. Sorry. And you get to interview one. So that's awesome. Happy National Drummer Day.
Yes, it's going to be cool. And I'll make sure we mention that to Tom. We'll be talking with him from Mannheim Steamroller right about 9:15 after hanging with Havel and Maddie. It's also National Raisin Bran Cereal Day. Cereal that is healthy and delicious certainly deserves to be celebrated. Of course, I had Frosted Mini Wheats instead.
Come on, man. You got to have the healthy cereal, Dave. It's only granola. What did my dad used to eat? I can't even remember. So we had the like just healthy, crunchy food when I was a little kid that like seriously had like zero sugar in it. And that's the only reason we had them. And it was, they were not very good. And I would like sneak sugar on them because all the people I knew had like really, really good cereals. Grape Nuts. That's the name of it. That's exactly yes. Right. But speaking of not things in your pantry, speaking of things in the cold part of your kitchen, today is National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day. Woo, woo.
That's,
I love that because
one.
Honestly, yeah, you got stuff that's like all the way in the back and, you know, the leftovers that you try and save that maybe you didn't get to, you know, things like this. It does feel really good and really, I don't know, it's like a reset to clean out your refrigerator. I don't know that we clean ours entirely out like they're showing in the picture here with like a rubber glove and a bleach washcloth, but, you know, at least get rid of the old food. That's helpful. And my tie in here is it ties into National and Americans Recycling Day. So when you clean out your fridge, oftentimes you're going to find containers and things that you don't need anymore. Please make sure to recycle them because we care about our planet.
We do. So important. And make sure you properly dispose of those items, especially the stuff that may be grown a little bit of fuzzy stuff on it or have changed to a funky color. You know, I know our fridge is due for it. We have one in the garage as well. I don't even want to open up the garage fridge. That used to be the fridge formerly known as the beer fridge, but we've got our food in there. And yeah, I should probably clean that out this weekend because at some point it doesn't work well over the winter. So if you have a garage fridge, get those cleaned out. Yeah, it'll still work for this week. Next week, getting cooler. So there's my words of wisdom today. And the last one that I saw that was kind of fun, National Bundt Day. Get the folks out and tuck into that thick slice of Bundt cakes. I love that. I just saw that. I'm like, cakes, food. Yeah. You know, I'm all about the food.
Cakes. Well, we always do the food. And it's really important that we talk about the food because it's Friday. This is the kind of day that you go into it and just like enjoy whatever you have on your weekend list. You know, you kind of get to gather some of the things of like, oh, get some stuff done around the house. Like you're saying, clean out the fridge or get that last yard work done before the snow comes. But also it's a day that you get to kind of treat yourself too and go into the weekend with treats. So like thinking about the good foods that you love is super important. I want to touch on one of these other ones here, Day of the Imprisoned Writer. So this is interesting because it's a commentary about censorship and ability for free speech. So I think that that's something to feel and embrace and feel very honored and lucky that we get to be a part of here in the media, but also just, you know, as a country, being able to, you know, have access to free speech and not be censored constantly. I mean, I can't say that across the board, but like just in general, being able to speak our minds here. I just feel very lucky and honored that we are given the ability to do that. So not everybody does and not everybody has. So this is kind of a day to honor those folks who in the past have not had that opportunity. So anyway, a lot of really good days today, and it's just a day to celebrate, you know, being on the earth and having a great Friday and looking towards a great weekend. That's, the weather's going to be awesome. And yeah, just a good day.
Yes, it is. And Emily, I hope you have a great weekend. May run into you today. We'll see what happens. Otherwise, we'll definitely see you next week.
Sounds like a good one. I'll probably see you this weekend, Dave. Have a good one. I hope you get out to golf. Wink, wink.
Yes, I hope so, too. And so everyone have a great weekend. Coming up next, we're going to have Maddie and Havel. We'll have Hanging with Havel. And then around 9:15, we'll have Mannheim Steamroller on Max FM.
Get the good stuff. Get the good stuff from Napa in Baraboo and Portage. This is Napa John. Napa tools and parts are second to none. We've got hard-to-find parts for everyday use, from the smallest wrench to the biggest hoist. Napa has over 300,000 parts in stock every day. No matter the job, if you're a hardcore mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer, we've got the parts you need. Watch for our quarterly sales flyers, and for your peace of mind, buy your tools and parts from Napa in Baraboo and Portage.
Get the good stuff!
The Eagles kicked off week 11 of this NFL season with a 26-18 win over Washington Thursday night. I'm Bill Scott with sports. Saquon Barkley rushing for 146 yards and two touchdowns. Oldest rivalry in the NFL will be renewed for its 104th season when the Packers and Bears hook up on Sunday at Soldiers Field. The Packers are 6-3 coming off their bye. The Bears have lost three straight. They're 4-5. Sixth-ranked Wisconsin women's volleyball team swept USC in Big Ten action on the West Coast last night. The Badgers will take on UCLA on Saturday night. Wisconsin and Marquette both back in action in men's college basketball tonight. The Badgers hosting number 9 Arizona in an 8 p.m. tip at the Kohl Center. 15th-ranked Marquette is on the road at Maryland. Hockey Badgers open a 2-game weekend series at Penn State tonight. The top-ranked Badger women's hockey team facing number 2 Ohio State in the first of a 2-game set in Columbus. Women's college basketball, Milwaukee 90, Valparaiso 79. Phil Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Some clouds, maybe even a little fog this morning, then becoming partly cloudy today. Our high 53 this afternoon. Tonight 37, tomorrow partly cloudy 55. On Sunday it'll be partly cloudy 55, but it does get colder with rain next week. If you're looking for an amazing fall or winter getaway or maybe some holiday fun, check out Alexandria, Minnesota at ExploreAlex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 45. 99.7.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. I'm Maddie Jones. Your Packers expert, Chris Hovel, is going to join us in just moments as we talk about the big matchup this week, the Green Bay Packers against the Chicago Bears. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm.
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
Apples are in good supply at Oakwood Fruit Farm. Pick up some Honeycrisp, Macintosh, Cortland, and other varieties for cooking and eating. Other treats include fresh apple cider donuts, take and bake pies, and fresh apple cider. Every Tuesday, get 10% off all apple purchases. Apples make great gifts. Open 9 until 4, 7 days a week. Oakwood Fruit Farm, south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs and like them on Facebook.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for...
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm. Well, Chris, it's always a big week because it's Bears week, so we're glad to have you along this morning to talk a little bit about this, what has been a pretty lopsided rivalry in recent years.
No doubt about it. Good to be with you, Maddie, as always. And going into this weekend, 10 straight wins by the Packers over the Bears. Nobody on the Chicago Bears roster has ever been in a Bears uniform and beat the Packers. And that includes the head coach. And Matt LaFleur has never lost to the Bears. So it's kind of crazy going in this thing lopsided from the outside looking in. But, you know, you just can't take anybody for granted either. So it's, to me, not the best game in terms of matchups and all that around the league. But it's as curious a game as I have seen in a while. And, I mean, they're all interesting. But this one really curious to see how it shakes out.
Well, and this is an interesting week for the Bears because earlier, if you haven't been keeping up with all your Bears news, Packers fans, they actually fired their offensive coordinator, thinking that's going to be the issue and some of the things that have been going wrong with Caleb Williams. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But what do you take about this? Because actually, if you follow the betting markets, after that firing of their offensive coordinator and bringing in somebody new, the betting markets, I mean, they're Packers. Packers are still a 5-point favorite, but they actually tightened up a little bit from like 8-point favorites before the firing of the offensive coordinator. So do you think it's going to make any difference, or do you think this is just kind of the Bears under Matt Eberflus right now?
Well, you know, Maddie, the thing is something had to change. And sure. They had three epically bad games in a row. When you have a total of 27 points on your last 34 possessions, you know, that is just a recipe for disaster and a recipe for getting somebody fired because you're going to have to make some changes. And Matt Eberflus, I swear to goodness, Matt Eberflus, you could give him a list of candidates, offensive coordinators / play callers, four names, three of them are geniuses and one is Shane Waldron, and who would he select? So nine games in, 10 months into this guy's tenure, Maddie, they let him go. And if all the reports are correct that players were, even if not directly stating it to the head coach, wanting this guy's ouster, that's never a good thing because it takes quite a bit to get the team united in the locker room against your own coach. But at the same time, when you look at nine sacks, I mean, it's fairly crazy. The Packers have surrendered 12 sacks all season. The Bears gave up nine last week to the Patriots. So the scheme, I mean, it's more than just a bad offensive line at that point, and it's more than just the quarterback. Your scheme is just not working. You're not putting players in a position to excel or succeed, and that was clear. But it goes back to Matt Eberflus' judgment. I mean, come on, you thought this was the guy. And now other people around the league also thought that Shane Waldron was the real deal. He worked with Matt LaFleur on Sean McVay's staff in 2017. But Matty, it's just kind of the offensive coordinator carousel. Luke Getsy gets fired. Now Shane Waldron. I got to believe Adam Stenovich, if he gets a call from the Chicago area code and they want a play caller, maybe he'll wait for a better job.
No, I think you turn that one down pretty quickly, I think, especially if Eberflus is still the head coach. Let's talk a little bit about that here for just a moment, because this Green Bay Packers team coming off the bye, if you've been following along and paying attention to practice this week, every player on the roster is practicing in some capacity, which is really good news. And as you and I were talking a little bit off the air, this is not a super banged up team. It just seemed to be super banged up in key positions, like your quarterback, like your cornerback room. So in your DB, you know, because you had Evan Williams and Jair out against who did they even play? The Detroit Lions. It feels like it's been an eternity ago, Chris.
I tried to put that one out of my mind,
when they actually played last time. So you were banged up in key positions. So it seems like maybe they're going to get healthy at just the right time, which is actually what happened to the Green Bay Packers last year, if we all remember our history a little bit. They came off the bye. They stayed relatively healthy going into the postseason run. The bye was a little bit later for them last year, and they were able to, you know, turn it into a fun rest of the season. So if you're a Packers fan, I think that's what you're hoping for. And, you know, if you want to avenge a bad game against a division opponent, maybe getting the Bears right now is not the worst thing that could happen, right?
No, I think the timing is really good for a couple of reasons, but you talk about the Packers' health, relatively speaking. A year ago, the youngest team in the league, and to this point of the season, they had been able to avoid pretty much the disastrous season-ending, knock on wood, injuries, because those are killers. When you just don't get a guy back that you planned on, that's tough. You can survive it. You better be able to if you're a good team. All of the Niners and the Eagles and some other teams have been able to do it. The Chiefs, for sure, where you still win some games by hook or by crook, but then you eventually get those guys back. The Packers have been lucky that way, and I say a lot of times that maturity is not a function of age, and that boded well for the Packers last year young, this year I think too, and believe me, it's not a function of age, because I know very immature 50 and 60 year olds, Maddie, don't ask who necessarily, but you know it. There are those out there, but I do think that health is a function of age. And if you're younger, I mean, it's undoubtedly you heal faster, you're less prone to injury, and bad, you know, bad breaks can happen. A guy roll up on your leg and all those kind of things, regardless of a veteran or a rookie. But they are healthier, and I think that's for a reason. And I think that youth is tied to that. Also, the whole new strength and conditioning staff that they brought in from San Francisco, I think that has shown some benefits to certain players, especially coming back from injuries maybe a little bit quicker. So all that said, you know, Josh Myers, you have a hand injury. Really not much you can do about that. I thought he could have played with the left hand out and it might have been okay. But apparently, we forget about this kind of stuff, Maddie, but when you're basically doing a 300-pound bench press against the man opposite you and you've got to jam him and be able to get a punch with the hands and you've got a hand injury, I mean, there's nothing more painful. So I could understand why he didn't play, but he'll be back. Evan Williams will be back. These guys all coming back. And I think you'll also see the tie to the end of the season run because LaFleur has always been mindful, Maddie. We've talked about this. Keeping his team off its feet as much as you can. And I used to kind of think it was hooky a little bit, you know, August, September matters in December, January, but apparently it does. So LaFleur's got that part of it, knock on wood again, locked in. And of course, number 10 is the biggest health news of the week.
Yeah, so hopefully Jordan Love is ready to roll. I mean, we saw him struggle a little bit, you know, obviously against the Lions. The groin injury was just a little bit nagging along with that sprained MCL. You got to think that both of them probably worked a little hand in hand because there's a lot of things in the body connected. I could sing the nursery rhyme, nobody needs that this morning. But you got to think that maybe a couple of weeks off, you know, just trying to get your mind right, your body back in shape, going through your rehab, all of that, probably good for Jordan Love. And let's be honest about it. I mean, we've seen Jordan Love look a little shaky out there at times this season. And I will still get on my soapbox and say it's not because Jordan Love is a bad quarterback. I think his mechanics and his nuances are completely off just because he's been trying to nurse that injury, stay healthy. You see what happens when quarterbacks can't move around in the pocket as well as they want. I mean, all you have to do is look at the Green Bay Packers former quarterback to see that play out in real time. I mean, that's been an awful, awful disaster in New York.
Mobility or lack thereof, whether it's injury or age, is a death knell for quarterbacks.
Yes, absolutely. So I think you've seen some of that with Jordan Love. And I'm not going to say that all of the interceptions have been because of the mechanics. I mean, sometimes you just think your guy's going to come down with the ball and you judge it wrong, right? I mean, we've seen that time and time again. But I think some of those things are anomalies that you might not see as he gets healthier. Or at least if you're a Green Bay fan, you're going to hope so, right? So that's what I'm kind of rooting for going into the second half of the season for the Packers. But let's actually start with the offense. As we kind of break this game down. This Bears defense, I mean, they haven't been horrible this season, right? But they're on the field just so long and so often because that offense of the Chicago Bears can't stay on the field. They can't sustain drives. I mean, we talked a little bit about the numbers and we'll get into it a little bit more when we talk about their offense versus the Packers defense. But you got to think that after a certain amount of time, I mean, how much more can you possibly do? And I kind of see that happening with the Chicago Bears defense right now.
Well, that's been their history, you know, that the offense, can you just please do anything? Your defense short of having to score all the points. And there have been times when teams and defense in Chicago have been the way to get points as well, or if not give your offense chip shots. But I think the defense, really one thing you need to know about the Bears defense, through nine games, they've only given up more than 21 points once. So the numbers are there of a team that is competitive defensively. And it really is interesting, the juxtaposition, the two areas, and it goes back to Jordan Love, where the Packers have been disappointing on offense, third down percentage conversion and red zone. And third down and red zone are the two areas that the Chicago Bears defense are the best at, among the best in the NFL. So I think that alone should be enough to get the Packers' attention offensively. Jordan Love certainly was all aware when he was talking about those two areas that the Bears are really, really good at. He said, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but he said they have ballers and some really good players, so we've got to be on our toes. And those two areas, going back to what you're talking about with Jordan Love and the injuries, when you don't practice, because there's a reason the starter gets all the reps. And I used to be like, really, you can't spare a few snaps for the backup just in case, but they don't. And they have to get theirs when they can, but all the reps and snaps and practice in the week go to the starter. Love wasn't getting that. Yeah. And where you have to be really precise in the red zone and on point, those are the things that are going to be affected. Because as you know, red zone, there are specific periods set aside in practice every week. Yep. All we're working on red zone, you know, third downs, down at situational football, that kind of thing. They put a premium on, just like the two-minute drill. Now, they haven't been in that position a whole lot. Malik Willis actually was able to get them done in that area against the Jaguars. But I do think, Maddie, with Jordan Love's health, it'll give you a fair test of that Bears defense and a gauge, really, of the Packers offense by the reflection of any of the improvements that they've made during the week. But, you know, Jordan Love didn't lie today. You know, yesterday when he was asked about his health, he said he was asked if he's 100% healthy. He said, well, I'm healthy. So, you know, nobody really, I guess, is 100%. But you know what the questioner meant. It meant, are you still in any way limited? But one thing that kind of went, well, okay, we'll see. He did mention that they've been working on things in practice to be able to allow them to go out of the shotgun more than under center without having to concede as much in the run game. So I don't know how that, you know, otherwise it'd be an NFL play caller, but how that.
Yeah, it was an interesting, it was an interesting statement. I also found it interesting this week when Matt LaFleur talked about the fact that coming out of this bye, they're going to start working in a lot more unscouted looks in practice and including this week, mainly because you would think that this week, having a brand new offensive coordinator for the Bears, you don't really know what you're going to get when you get out as a defense, right? You don't know what you're going to get. So, and, you know, and with the Packers, there's been a little complacency on the offense. So having some unscouted looks for both sides of the ball, I think, is a good thing. And I think it keeps the players a little bit fresh, a little bit more mentally in tune with the game, especially coming off a bye and after the loss to the Lions. But I thought that was also an interesting comment that LaFleur made and made sure that that was an all-around unscouted look thing. Like, he wasn't just picking on one side of the ball. He's trying to actually get his players a little bit more up to par. So I found that to be honest.
Think about it. You know, logically, just from a coach's standpoint, okay, the unscouted look, how do we prepare for that? Well, we've got our fundamentals. We've got our basics that we do, that we always fall back on. And those are the things that get you through when you're seeing something new for the first time to avoid the disaster or even gash them and make a big play against them. But what it does mentally is keeps you fundamentally sound and it keeps you on point in practice and gets you, I think, better prepared for the games. He also said we're going to see more 11-on-11s in practice, good on good, and I like that kind of thing. But most of all, isn't it reassuring just to hear the head coach talk and have a plan and actually be somewhat specific about changes that need to be made, going to be made, things he did in the past going forward, and all of that. With the new coordinator down in Chicago in such a short time there, I do believe, and LaFleur and Jordan Love both echoed this, but LaFleur especially, McKinney even talked about it a little bit, where there are going to be some changes because he sat there and had a front row seat to the disaster that was Shane Waldron. And don't you, I mean, who among us hasn't had a boss, right or wrong, we second guess or say, you know, if I was in charge, I'd do this, maybe not everything, maybe only a couple of things, but by doggone, you can be sure there are going to be things that they're going to want to change.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about this offense as far as what you think we'll see a lot of. I mean, we found out yesterday that Jaquan Brisker has been put on injury reserve. He sustained a concussion early in the season, or actually early in October. Is that correct?
Six games he's missed now.
Yeah, and so they finally put him on injury reserve. So possibly one of their better DBs for the Bears. But this is a good defense. I'm not going to parse words about it. It's a good defense. We just talked a little bit about them. That line is pretty stout up front. I haven't seen a lot of running backs get a lot of yardage on this particular Bears line. And, you know, I don't sit and watch the Bears regularly unless I have to. but when I have, I haven't seen a lot of running backs be able to pick up huge yardage. It's also a little tougher to pass on this defense because they are a really strong defense. Now, with Eberflus, though, that's his strong suit, right? He is a defensive-minded coach, so you would expect that. But what do you think is going to be one of the things they'll focus on this week against this defense? And is there any player specifically that you would like to see maybe in the mix that throws the Bears off a little bit or keeps them on their toes?
Well, you look at the Bears personnel, Jalen Johnson's wonderful. Kyler Gordon is really good, too. So they got some guys in the back end, even without Brisker, that are pretty capable. The thing is, Montez Sweat isn't practicing this week either with an ankle injury. And now I don't know necessarily the severity or if he's just, you know, kind of veteran rest thing and bring it. But when you think about passing against the Bears, the first thing that comes to mind is Montez Sweat. And the second thing is Jaquan Brisker on the back end, you know? So I would think you're going to see some chicanery maybe in the passing game. I think this is a chance where, and I was listening to our morning crew here on the Fan in Green Bay the other day, and I agreed with the point that we may see, depending, now Dontavian Wick's future is in front of him, okay? Yes. So he's either going to get better or he's going to get fewer snaps, one or the other. And I think that they're at the break point a little bit, Maddie, with this receiving core and the winnowing process and shaking it out. Let's really establish Jaden Reed. He is he's a bona fide number one receiver in the league and Romeo Doubs. And then you go from there. And I think Christian Watson, and really it was kind of the first eye popping.
Feels like he's about to have a big game at some point. I know we've been saying that.
That was kind of his come out game.
Right.
You know? And I still think, and I know Max has said this, and we've talked about it, you got to design some special things for Christian Watson.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I'm hoping they're more mindful of that. I don't need him to get eight targets and seven catches and whatever. He
stretch
just doesn't
the field.
Seem to be, yes, stretch the field. Guy just sweeps.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
He's
some
got
quick
speed.
Screens to that guy. Anything that you can do to use that.
I would like to see him mix it up a little bit. They've used Jaden Reed in the backfield so often. When you see that happen, you know exactly what's coming, right? So mix it up a little bit. Throw them both back there, Christian Watson and Jaden Reed. Get a little movement back there. Something that's not the same thing that you do. Because when you see Jaden Reed go to the backfield, you know. I mean, if you're a defense, you've seen it. You've scouted it. You've seen it on tape a thousand times.
No, so, you're absolutely right. That goes back to the unscouted looks comments.
Right.
When the floor is talking about giving his team unscouted looks and all that. Well, part of that is because of the reflection back at him. Teams are finding things and tendencies about the Green Bay offense.
Sure.
And you happen to mention one with Jaden Reed, and I couldn't agree more. Clearly, out of the shotgun, their run game is diluted or diminished to a degree. Mm-hmm. So there is that you've got to try to work around. Tucker Kraft. I mean, I know the Bears linebacking core is pretty good. I mean, it's like an almost all ex-Wisconsin, Jack Sandberg and TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds, really good linebackers. They all can run and they love to hit, which is a linebacker 101. But I think Tucker Kraft is always in the mix. I mean, really, Reed, Kraft, and Jacobs, those are your big three. And then everything should work off of them. Sometimes I think too much of this, not trying to intentionally maybe spread the ball around, but trying to get everybody involved and keep them, you know what, how they can get themselves involved by catching passes and not dropping them.
Exactly.
For starters.
Exactly. So. 100% agree. Now let's talk a little bit about the defense in this particular game. And I hate to do it, but we're going to pick on Caleb Williams just a little bit. There were a lot of high
Everyone
hopes.
Everyone else is Maddie. We might as well get in line.
There was a lot of high hopes coming out of college with Caleb Williams, right? A lot of people thought he was going to come in probably the next to CJ Stroud, have one of those type of seasons. I know Bears fans were very excited. I mean, he's been considered to be everything from the next Aaron Rodgers to something in between him and Patrick Mahomes. And it hasn't exactly played out that way. In fact, when you look at the numbers, it's pretty not great. He actually has the worst completion rate on throws of 15 yards by any quarterback in any season over the past 15 years. Any
That's
season
incredible.
In 15 years. He ranks 468th out of 468, which is... That's not great when you're looking at your new star sensation and who you want to build the offense around. Like, there needs to be a little hope if you're a Bears fan. And
you call that an epic fail. That's not hyperbole. It is.
It is.
15 years. How old was he when this?
Right. Started, these are not great numbers. And if we have some time, we'll get into the comparison between the two quarterbacks this weekend. But man, oh man, I mean, you know, if you're Jeff Hafley, I mean, is this the weekend you're like, you know, let's move him around a little bit. Let's throw him off his game a little bit. Let's try to pressure him. Or do you just let the defense sit back? If you're Xavier McKinney, are you just like licking your lips right now going, it's coming. I know there's another interception in there. I mean, what is the mindset of this defense against this Bears offense? Because the line hasn't been great. The running game gets stymied pretty easily because they start relying on that. And Caleb Williams can't make the throws. I mean, what pick your poison. What do you think Hafley's game plan is this weekend?
Well, it's funny because when I was talking with Dave Grant on Monday, I said, I don't know, maybe first play had just come out in zero coverage and just blitz the house in the house after Caleb Williams. Now, the downside would be if they happen to gash you for a big play and you let them in the game that way. But only half kidding, because it is. It's an interesting one thing they have to do, and I think I'll be really curious to see this, is the when they go to four men, rushing four, mm-hmm. who are the preferred four down rushers when they try to get after the quarterback with just bringing four, and get a kind of rotation there, an idea for what to expect that way, and who's going to shine? Who are their four best pass rushers right now? I would have to say it's somewhat of a – you could make an argument that the four of their best pass rushers are three interior guys.
Yeah, no, so, absolutely. And I did think it was interesting.
Devontae Wyatt and Clark and maybe Van Ness, but
we'll see. Jury's still out.
It'd be better that way.
You know, and I thought it was interesting yesterday when Halfley was at the microphone, out of the blue, he basically praised Mosby and Cox, just basically out of the blue. There wasn't really any context around it at all, but he was very excited about those two guys, which we talked about last week after the trade of Preston Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, these are guys that Goody even said they were going to depend on, and Halfley kind of echoing those sentiments. And obviously, he sees them in practice every day. So maybe down the road, these two guys, by the end of the season, we're talking about them being the two best pass rushers or two of the better ones on the team.
You think one of the two might emerge, maybe in a great situation, both of them do. I know one or the other or both are going to be in pass rush situations, but what we don't see, and sometimes we forget a little bit, lose track of, is Brenton Cox Jr. and Aaron Mosby and working on pass rush technique mm-hmm. and moves with, you know, the best coaches in the business, trying to hone their skills day in, day out, ever since preseason and all of that. So, and they do have speed. Those guys off the edge can bring it. And I think that kind of change up is a good thing for the defense. The other thing you look at, it just doesn't line up. The Bears' weaponry and mm-hmm. Caleb Williams' performance, because going into the season, and you and I know we talked about this, on paper, the Bears' skill position players, from Cole Kmet to DJ Moore to Keenan Allen and Odunze and even DeAndre Swift, are darn near as good as anyone. And when you talk about J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold in Minnesota, Caleb Williams in Chicago, you go, boy, for a rookie quarterback or first-year starter at a place, those are two of the best situations you could walk into. But you know what? On paper is only that, on mm-hmm. paper. And the Bears, the disconnect and the difference between Chicago and Minnesota is coaching.
Yeah.
Because Sam Darnold, all the mileage, now they've got good skill position players. They didn't have T.J. Hockenson for a lot of the season until just recently. But I think the Vikings coaches, you talk about people who know what they're doing, and then Chicago, the opposite. Mm-hmm. And that's why Caleb Williams' head is spinning, I think, to a large degree. And it's just coaching. I think Caleb Williams is going to be okay. In fact, he posted three straight games of 100-plus passer ratings this year. And then to go from that to epically awful three-game performance here and three straight losses that could end up being an 11-game losing streak if they're not careful. Because if you look at their schedule after the Packers, Lions, Vikings, Niners, mm-hmm. Lions, Vikings.
Ew, that's rough.
That's rough.
I would much rather have the Green Bay Packers schedule going forward.
I would just rather have the Packers any schedule.
Oh, man. That's a rough one.
So the Bears, I mean, and for as awful as they've been, the kind of part was this NFL in parity. If they somehow, as a 6-point home dog, happen to do the unthinkable and win, they're a game behind the Packers in the standing with a game up head to head.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
There's not a game that separates these two. Not one game, but yet.
You know, and let's talk about the quarterbacks, because we have a little bit of time here. We can definitely run down some of these numbers. Now, we are talking about Jordan Love and Caleb Williams, right? Passes of 20-plus yards with a minimum of 25 attempts. So for Jordan Love, it's 41 attempts, and he ranks 3 out of 23 different quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, on the other hand, is 38th, has 38 attempts. For Jordan Love, you have 17 completions. He ranks 4 among quarterbacks. For Caleb Williams, again, we're talking passes over 20 yards. It's 8 8 completions, and he rakes 23 of 23. Percentage of passes deemed catchable for Jordan Love, that is almost 44%. For Caleb Williams, it is a mere 21%. Jordan Love also outranks him on the big-time throws. He has 10 of those so far. Caleb Williams has 4. Caleb Williams has 2 touchdowns with passes of 20-plus yards. Jordan Love has 5. And we've been pretty honest about the red zone issues for the Green Bay Packers. With passes of 20 yards plus, Jordan Love has 2 interceptions. Caleb Williams has 4. And then here's where it gets really interesting. When we're talking about the quarterback ranking in passes of 20 plus yards, Jordan Love has a QB rating of 108. Caleb Williams, he has a quarterback rating of 35. 35, making him dead last in passes over 20 yards.
You know, and for all of those numbers, and they're really telling, and what it illustrates, one of the last things
coaching
to figure out it does that. And for young quarterbacks, the hardest thing is completing passes downfield.
Yeah.
I mean, when Jordan Love played the Chiefs his first game, mm-hmm. boy, oh boy, try to get a 15-yard
right.
completion to save your soul. You know, it's just really, really dicey. And,
yep.
and that's kind of where he is. Not kind of. That is where he's at right now. And I'll go back to the DJ Moore stat, which I think is just incredible, that guy could have had 115 passer rating with Justin Fields last year, his first year in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And this year he's in the 70s with Caleb Williams, who clearly is a better passer, better quarterback. But the disconnect in the Bears
yeah.
offense, and maybe what you need to know about Shane Waldron, if you've got DJ Moore, Maddie, and you're running the offense, I guarantee Maddie is going to sit down and figure out, okay, first thing I'm going to do is figure out, what can I do
yeah.
to spring DJ Moore, and then the other pieces will fall into place around
yeah.
that guy. And
yep.
it seems like they're quite the opposite, as if they're almost ignoring and making it as tough as they can on their best receiver. And I think that's why DJ Moore has been a little saucy lately, let's say.
Yeah.
And I think he's feeling kind of some of that.
Who covers
too,
DJ Moore on Sunday, do you think, for the Green Bay Packers?
Well, if it
who
matters.
Makes his day difficult?
Yeah, I mean, I think.